Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
And welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today, well, I know for most of you, summer isn't quite yet over. And we've got a charming book we want to tell you about today called The Chit Chat Cafe. It was done by a friend of mine, Jerry Bradley. Jerry's with us, but we're going to be talking about some wonderful, wonderful stories that Jerry had the chance to interview these individuals who shared their stories with him. He calls them the Chronicles. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Donna, and to all of your audience.
Now, you love to write, Jerry, and I want my audience to know a little bit about our association. I met you when I was broadcasting at a radio station, KLAY, in Lakewood, Washington. You yourself were involved with so many aspects of radio, including doing your own show. And then you came out with a book called Birds in a Thicket, which was about your life story and dealing with your own condition of bipolar, which was quite a story. And I can remember you telling me many years ago that you wanted to put together a book that shared stories that people had given to you over the years, and you wanted to do this. And lo and behold, you've come out with this delightful book called Chit Chat Cafe, Yarns from the Heart. And I just love the cover on this. I think the artist that depicted the old-fashioned type of ice cream parlor counter with two young people sitting at the counter with ice cream sodas and the old-fashioned straws coming out of them, it's just so picturesque. Jerry, when you decided you were going to put this together, what was really the ultimate goal of your doing this?
The main thing I was striving for was one specific aim, Donna. I wanted people to be able to chuckle, smile, laugh, maybe shed one tear, and I wanted them to nudge someone next to them and tell them all about the stories, mm-hmm. to the extent of saying, have you read these stories?
Mm-hmm.
And that aim has been met, and then some. We know now that it's already traveled to the golfers in Florida, and that's kind of comparable to what happened with Birds from the Thicket, because it went all the way to, we understand just lately, it's in Greece. It got to the troops in Iraq, the entire eastern seaboard from the Carolinas to Boston. There it was handled through a high school teacher, and she read the story, Birds from the Thicket, to the class, and they were enthralled. And I guess now, from what I hear, it's on the collegiate level.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was your first book. Now, this
yes.
book is so very different, because in your first book, it was Birds from a Thicket. It was very much about your life and your challenges of dealing with this bipolar condition. But this book is all about other people. It's not about you. It's all about other people. And you said that there are so many gifts that were given to you because of people sharing their stories. And you got some of these stories from around the world. What made people open up to you, Jerry? Why? How did you get these stories from them?
I think the people you're talking about just have, as I've tried to tell everyone, the subtitle is Yarns from the Heart, and the question has been, why yarns? And I replied, and do so again today, that everyone's got a yarn. And I have a way, ever since I was a little boy, to meet the people and pull the stories right from them. They're heartfelt, and they want to share them. And I just have approached it that way. Not really anything more than that. It's just, I just talk to the people, and first thing you know, they are telling me a yarn, and I turn around and say, I wonder if you would give me the opportunity to interview you, and they do, and it seems like an hour plus later, I've got their story, and if they'd like, I even take their photographs. and I write their stories. And you're right, those accounts are ones that I have interviewed ever since and prior to our meeting one another, Donna.
Well, I think that many of the thoughts that you share, and they're just short stories, it actually is a benefit to, I think, the younger generation as well as the older generation, because it sort of eliminates a generation gap. And I think that when the younger generation can hear stories about people and what they lived through in the years past, it enables them to realize that they're standing on the shoulders of those that have gone before them, that it's important to be aware of the past as well as the present, and maybe even the aspirations for the future, because it all links together. It's never just disjointed. There are all of these tiny little links of individuals that I think is just absolutely terrific. Now, you had a quote in here. David Cottrell says, "Frequently the difference between success and failure is the resolve to stick to your plan and long enough to stick to your plan to win." And this particular story talks about Enid, Oklahoma. And you said that, or the person that said or told this story, said the older generation at that time had experienced dreadful moments, which they had, and it had never been washed away from their minds, their hearts, or their souls. And the little ones that were growing up at that time, the Dust Bowl era, heard relatives' accounts talked about right at the dinner table, or maybe after supper, everybody's in the living room and these stories are going on. Tell us how this story from Enid, I believe it is, Enid, Oklahoma, and it's about another it's an odyssey of another author. Tell us how this story came about and how you were able to talk with him.
When I was a little boy, literally on a basis of sitting next to my mother in Enid, where was my hometown, she used to have me sit down, and she shared stories with me from an author from Collier's Magazine and Saturday Evening Post. And that story is really not only about him, the writer, who ironically was from Enid. I wanted people to realize that, once again, there's another author coming from Enid, Oklahoma, and it happens to be me. And that's where it all really began. And, of course, you and I, we grew up in that radio time of life, so we were fortunate that came along in our lives as well.
There's a charming story that you have in here about Sandra and her dad in Rochester, Minnesota, for his 100th birthday. Share that story with us.
Would you mind if I just read a short passage to you?
Sure.
This is at the end of the story, and I want to credit by saying that it is of her father, and he died when he was 101 years old, and I thought that this might be perfect for your comment and question. A message that is heard over and over is, you knew Paul was going to be out there on his knees tending the garden, so he could provide not just stories, but true service in the community. He knew that his work was his way of readying all to reach everyone's tables. That was then. Now to be here with him, watching him seated at center stage, thanking everyone at every table. There were his German friends, and it was warming to hear them converse in their native language. Many came because they had been children of his friends through the years. They wanted him to know they came in their parents' places. He didn't look 100 years old. He had to be here, for his day was a tribute of its own. However, he began to tire, yet reached out to play for us on his mouth organ. What broke the moment and brought tears to our eyes was hearing him play America after hearing all of his German tunes and Christmas carols. We hugged and kissed him and wished him one more happy birthday. And today, we have come, as all did, for his birthday. This time, Paul is paid far more than respect for all mentioned back then. Today, the family and friends from years past are here for celebrating his full life. It looked as though he was going to make it to 102 years of vintage. His stay with all of us changed as he died on June 10th, 2006, when he had his last heart attack and nap. All of us were pleased that he left us just as he had hoped. Here we all are joining hands on the green, hearing some shed their tears as to his no longer being here for all of us, and listening to special refrains of his favorite German hymns. We now know that he is caring for the largest gardener of all, working far more and sharing each and every one of his stories.
It's a beautiful story about a man and his life, and of course you just gave the latter part of the story there. It really makes you aware that within each human being, there is a number of stories that can be related. But with his particular life, his era, his was centered around his garden, interacting with community, and being very attentive. He always put himself in a positioning of being available so that people could talk to him, and he used nature to impart his lessons. So I think you conveyed that story just very beautifully. You also have a story in here about your dad, which I thought was great, about Manchester and the blue light. And, of course, UFOs have always been the topic of discussion. Mount Rainier has been noted for that, as well as Mount Shasta. But tell us a little bit. Don't tell us all, but tell us a little bit about the story of Mount Shasta and what your dad told you and what's been seen since.
Well, first of all, Donna, he wasn't my dad. He was a fellow classmate of mine from San Rafael High School who is more like a brother. And the story was written by his daughter when she was in high school years. And what I want to emphasize is that all the stories, some 24 in the book, some I have accepted. In her case, she was one, so that I could take what they have and return the gift of so many gifts that I've already received from so many people. And the gift on my behalf for them is I can publish their stuff. And that was one of her stories that she did. And it's about her father, John Winter. He's a biologist, zoologist, and also studied, of all things, owls for years and years in Greater California. So I wanted to share her story. I thought it was the perfect one to be able to return a gift for a young adult.
Well, I stand corrected. For some reason, I think because of the line that says, it's related to me by my father, that I thought it was your dad. So that's my error. And thank you for correcting me. But one of the things that she shared is that her dad would go to a particular ridge, and he would see this blue light in the same location, and it moved real slowly, swinging from side to side. And he was so efficient. Like you said, he was a wildlife specialist. He took out his compass, read all of the longitudes, latitudes, made notes, and he was amazing. And he recorded also that he felt a chill, an ice-cold chill right behind him. And he just thought, this is ridiculous. And he couldn't see anything. But her story was that her father spent many years in the woods at night and wasn't easily frightened, but something was going on with that blue light. So it makes for a wonderful, wonderful story. It's fascinating reading. And, oh, I see here what I missed. It's Danielle Winter. This is the person that wrote it. And she
there you
wrote
go.
It for her English class on December 17th, 2002.
Yes.
So I think it's great you included her story in the book, because I think it makes for fascinating, fascinating reading. And then you have another story, and it's about music, and it was regarding, let's see, who is it? Merritt Herring. Merritt Herring. And whose story was this?
Her name is Ann Herring. She was the daughter of the two that I mentioned that you just called out. Her folks were in... They were founders of folk music in the early 60s in the Bay Area and to San Francisco all the way to Yosemite and also clear to Yellowstone. And she's become a friend of mine and started telling me her story over a cup of coffee one day, and this is what I ended up with. And you can see through the story, and so can your readers, that In fact, not only the founder, but she has gone on herself. Today, she's teaching guitar, just as her father did, along with all of the production that they were involved in.
It's an amazing story about the entertainment industry. So there's a lot of good information about that. And again, these people, when they're sharing their stories with you, they're speaking from their hearts, and they're talking about the things that influence them, their thinking, their lifestyle, and the evolution that they've taken. They've gone forward in their own way to live their lives in the way that's most meaningful to them. And you've got a war story in here. Actually, you've got a couple of different ones, but the one that I am looking at was the one that was titled Combat. Anthony Pecos is the person that you were talking about, and he really went into some details about what he experienced. Now, you have a couple of stories in here about veterans. Did you find that the veterans were able to talk to you more openly? And when you were listening to their stories, did you feel like you were stepping back in time with them? What was the experience talking to the veterans with what they've gone through?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked me about that, because one and all, probably you and as well, I have always kind of been known as George in It's a Wonderful Life. I've always kind of thought of myself as living more in that time. You can imagine how tough it is to be in our time today because of that. I always kind of thought of myself as coming out of the 40s. I think it's because I was, in essence, born when the whole thing started, World War II. It gave the emphasis in regard to the veterans is I want to include at least one to three stories in each book about the veterans. It's just my way, because I'm a veteran myself, to turn back and do more than meet them on the street like you're talking about. It's my way as a writer to say the biggest of thanks for their service to our country through the years. And the Pecos story was another that was given to me by a young lady, another young student, and I found out about it through her grandparents, who are very dear friends of mine, that she had started it. And what it was her way of discovering for herself what World War II was all about. So she went back to the character you mentioned, who happened to be her uncle, who flew Liberator bombers in the war from Sicily on into Italy. And that's his account. Mm-hmm. And she wrote it. It was more like her own book, and so I gave her the gift and included it in the first book.
Well, that's very significant, because for a younger person to say, I'm curious, I want to know about a member of my family, and I think it's wonderful, Jerry, that you put it in the book, because I think so often we have people around us, and we say good morning, we know them, we know they dress a certain way or they have certain habits. But to really get inside their skin, to find out what it was that they went through, is quite another experience. And for someone of a younger generation that has had nothing in her life that is even close to what the people in the 30s and the 20s, the 30s and the 40s went through, that to be curious enough to step back into that mode of time and to be able to do such a nice job of being able to record the information, that's quite an accomplishment, and I would imagine that it changed her life quite a bit in her thinking.
It did. She's now on the collegiate level, working toward her degree, and I, as a writer, was absolutely proud of what she had done. I thought it was a wonderful undertaking, and she did such a good job. The thing I mentioned I tried to express was the gift concept. She gave the gift, so did Danielle. I was able to return it, publish what they had written, but they gave me the gift of much better balance with Chit Chat Cafe.
Chit Chat Cafe. Now, people I know will ask, where did you ever get that? And that actually came about because of your mom, didn't it?
Yes, it did. She was a waitress in the Chit Chat Cafe in Enid, Oklahoma when I was a boy.
Now, when you look back at the time frames then, that's when the ice cream shops were really popular. What were they called then? Malt shops?
Pretty close.
What were they called?
Her place was the Chit Chat Cafe, and it was a lot more than the malt shop, I'll tell you that. People were there for something very special called one of those wonderful hamburgers that kind of was lathered like in butter, already heated. And my goodness, when they served malts, it was just as you said, they were still in the tin can.
Yeah.
And those photos, that cover that you're looking at was done by our youngest son. Although we're going to be changing the cover for the rest of the series. And I'm glad I get a chance to just hit that because another quick story I want to suggest and make everybody aware of is that we now have what is called Team Thicket, and I'm just the creator innovator, and each of these people were all graduates of mine and 50 years ago from Queen Anne High School in Seattle, Washington. And we have all come back together and had not seen one another for 50 years, and now we're all working together on Chit Chat Cafe. They mm-hmm. take care of the proofreading, the editing. The new cover is done by a wonderful watercolorist down in Hoquiam, Washington. And I just wanted to say all of that because my heart is just so thankful for what they're doing.
Well, I have to chuckle because if anybody ever watches any of the old movies, and I think of the old Judy Garland movies and some of the others that were made in the 40s, and it depicts like the ice cream shop type of place. But this is, if you ever have a chance to go to, there's a restaurant in California. I'm bouncing around here because there's a place in San Francisco specifically that's right near Ghirardelli's Chocolate Factory. And they have, you walk into it, and I swear, they have the seats, just like you've depicted on the cover of this book, that are at the counters. They're round, they're thickly padded, and they swirl. You can twirl in circles, and kids just love to do that. And they made a clacking sound when you make a move. But this place has all of the music from the 40s and from the 50s, and they bring out the French fries in baskets that you'd swear nobody could ever guzzle down that many. And it is trying to go back to that time frame when everything was fixed fresh. You had these super thick hamburgers and all kinds of good things. It's just nostalgic. And there are places, I know there's a number of places in California. I've been in a couple. I've had some friends that have taken me to some down in Southern California. But there's the one that came into my mind that's right in San Francisco, right next door to the Ghirardelli Square, the Chocolate Factory, and it is a hoot to walk into. You see all this memorabilia, and that's what your cover reminds me of. And, of course, like you described in here, the waitresses, they had pencils behind their ears. They had those little pads of paper that every once in a while you'll still see if you drive through some of the small towns in America that are not on computers and restaurants at this time. And things in some places are still reflective of that. Not many, but a few. So it's really, you do have all of this, to a degree, a nostalgia. But there's a great deal that I think you are wanting to accomplish with this, Jerry, and that is to bring forth the fact that, one, you have a deep regard for history. Two, you like to have people tell their stories so that they are reflecting what they experience and you don't try to change it so that it becomes glamorized or accessorized, as I would say, in an unrealistic way. But three, you've really got a long-term goal with this. You've got so many things that are coming about that you have a plan where you're wanting to go forward. So for those of you who are writers, those of you who aspire to have work published, you'll find that if you really enjoy writing, you're never satisfied with just doing one thing. You're going to want to do something else, and that's what Jerry has done. Now, Jerry, I need to ask you, do you have a website that people can go to find out more about this book and also your book, Birds in a Thicket?
I'd like to bring everybody's attention to the following, please. Go to www.northwestauthors.org. And I'd also like them to turn, if they would, to either Amazon.com or to authorhouse1word.com and add my name, which is Jerry with a G, E-R-R-Y, B-R-A-D-L-E-Y, and then add Chit Chat Cafe. By doing so, when they click it, Donna, they'll find out all about what you and I have been discussing today, and they will also be able to find out about my first book, Birds from the Thicket, which we've also alluded to today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Jerry, your projects you've got lined up, what would you want to leave my listeners with in the way of an inspirational thought if they're wanting to write their own story, if they're wanting to publish something that is very meaningful to them? What would you, as a now author of a second publication and on your way to a third, what would you say to them to inspire them to get their job done?
I think Nike had it right. Everyone asks me, Donna, over and over, how do you do it? And I think that they did it by saying, do it. You just got to keep going after it. And your question is really perfect because I want to establish with all of you fledgling authors, don't sit back. Don't wait 5 or more years to have a publisher come to you. Go ahead and self-publish. It's a very strong way. That's how I began. I wanted to get my name out there. I know each of you will want to do the same. And I want to say big thanks to Author House, which happens to be in Bloomington, Indiana. They have done wonderful work prior as well as present, and we're looking forward to working with them in the future. I also want to say that, folks, it's not the end result. It's the journey. It's the actual steps, one by one, caterpillar fashion, that really count. It's not the end result.
Chit Chat Cafe, Yarns from the Heart. This is a wonderful book for summer reading. It's a type of book that you can cozy up to, maybe even during the cooler months, sitting in front of the fireplace. It's not something that you have to feel like you have to really intellectualize. They're yarns from the heart, just the way Jerry Bradley wanted to have them touch your heart. This is Donna Sebo. Jerry, thank you for being my guest today. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thank you again.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I have to tell you right now, our telephone lines are not open. Take down this number because if something happens, we're having some technical problems with the cable system. So if you will just take this number down, And you can try maybe in about 10 minutes if you wanted to chat with me today. 888-815-9756. Technology, don't you just love it when it works? Hey, I'm going to be a traveling lady tomorrow, so you will be hearing a Best of Donna tomorrow. It's going to be with Pamela Wilby. Now, this is a show that was done a few weeks ago, and Pamela is quite a gal. She is a physician who has, if you did not hear the interview with her, she is a physician in Oregon that allowed patients, and when I say allowed, she actually encouraged patients to work with her to create a clinic that offered services that they really wanted. And do you know what? It is so successful. It's amazing. So you'll be able to hear Pamela tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, I'll be broadcasting from Las Vegas, actually. Bruce Tolner is my guest, The Child Game Plan. Now, this is one of the best books I have ever read regarding working with kids. And it comes from a perspective of understanding and experience that I think is absolutely awesome. Also, we're going to be talking with Sally Helgeson. She is the author of The Female Vision. This is about women in the workplace, and I'm telling you, it is well done. Very, very well done. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Robert Boval. We're going to be traveling via telephone lines to Spain. Robert is a man that has been deeply involved with Egypt, its history, and the facts regarding it. We're going to be talking about his very interesting book called The Egypt Code. So we'll be doing that, and then we've got a great lineup of guests for the whole month of September. I invite you to come and check on the BBS radio website to see who the guests are that are going to be coming up, and go in and read through the brief description of what we're going to be discussing, and I think it will give you a good insight as to what is going on. We have a very eclectic show here, the Donna Shea Sebo Show does, and we invite you to also send us any suggestions or comments you may have, and I'm always interested in your stories as well, and I've been getting some emails with some fun stuff in them, and I will share that with you in the coming days. But I'd like for you to know also that if you have a story about the paranormal, I'd love to hear from you. I'm putting together a book, and I would like for you to send me your story, whether it's about ghost experiences, out-of-body experiences, communication with animals, anything that for you has really had an impact on your life. Won't you write it down for me and send it? I'm aiming for 100 stories to be put in a publication, and I'd like to have yours. And be sure you can send it via email. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And, of course, be sure to put your contact information in there. All the stories are going into a file, and we're getting them, and I am so pleased with the results. So I'd like to have your story as well. Okay, let's go for a 2010 Zodiac readout here. Yes, it's that time of year. Fall is here in the Pacific Northwest. It came in, well, I don't think we had much of a summer anyway, but it just slid in just as sweet as you please. And we've got a totally fall day here today. But let's share. We've already gone through Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and Libra. Let's talk about those of you under the sign of Scorpio, you dynamic souls, you. Well, regarding family and romance, you're going to find that you're going to have a wonderful fall season. You've got so much going on, and I'm just aware of the fact that for those of you born under the sign of Scorpio, your home is so important to you, but you're opening your doors to new people, to expanding the family through friendship, and I just think that's a wonderful thing to do. Sometimes the friends that we acquire are even closer than blood relatives, and I think in your case, that is going to be what's happening. Now, what about money and jobs? Well, you need to be aware that you have to, when it comes to investments, understand what it is you're going to invest in. Don't go to it just because, wow, you've got the gambler's spirit. That's not what you want. You need to study, you need to investigate, and trust what you really perceive, because Scorpios are typically highly intuitive. And if you're looking for a job, don't be afraid to try for something that's a little different than what you have had experience in. Look at the strengths that you have as an individual and focus on those. And those strengths may find themselves garbed in an entirely new environment. Travel? Well, you might be taking some short trips, but it doesn't look like there's some real long-distance trips here. Not at this time, because you're really trying to watch your money. So it's a good thing. Even though money goes through your fingers fairly quickly, you Scorpios do have a zest for life. Sagittarius. Ah, yes, that's the next sign we're going to be working with. You love romance. You want it with whomever you might be with, and you really want to have harmony. And you're going to find yourself really enjoying interaction with people, but you're going to be on your toes because apparently when it comes to family, those of you under the Sagittarius sun may decide that you want to be sure that everybody's open in communication, kids included, and that you know what's really going on. You don't want any unpleasant surprises. So you're really going to be very, very much attuned to finding out facts. When it comes to money and career, it looks like you have got a lot of energy that you're going to be putting out. Don't be afraid to continue to polish your skills because it is going to be an asset for you, and do the speaking that you want to do. If you want to develop your speaking skills through volunteer work or maybe being a part of something like Toastmasters, go for it. You want to really be able to do what you love and do it well. And remember, good speaking skills overlap into just about every arena of career. Traveling, well, you're going to find that family and visiting family is seemingly going to take the priority here. Not just because you're sort of conservative with the dollars, but it's because you feel as if there are members of the family that you really should keep in touch with. Great time for a reunion this fall. If that's something you'd like to do, and with everybody pitching in, you could have a good time. So for those of you under the sign of Sagittarius, travel seems to be centered more around the family. Well, that takes two more, and we will give you, I've got some more signs to go through. We've got six more to go through, and so we'll finish them before the end of the week. The signs we have not covered are Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. I wanted to share a story with you that I found extremely interesting, and I think that you will too. And it's about, well, the bit of the unusual. How about some cantankerous clouds? How about that? Well, we've all had experiences where we sit back or we are laying on the ground and our arms crossed behind our head and we're thinking, what does that cloud look like up there? Well, there's been some very interesting recordings of unique cloud happenings. And one of the earliest records that's been found was written in 1814. It was northwest of Agen, France. There was a perfectly round cloud that showed up in an otherwise totally, totally blue sky. There wasn't a wisp of another cloud anywhere. It all of a sudden was there, and it began drifting slowly, just moving around, and then it stopped. Then it stayed totally still for a period of time. All of a sudden, then it went to the south. It was revolving on an axis of its own. There were noises that were coming from within this big round cloud. There were uniquely pitched sounds, and nobody could understand what was happening. Then an explosion was heard. From this explosion, stones were falling down from the cloud, and some of them, when they found them, were of a pretty good size. And then, what happened? The cloud quietly and calmly faded away. Yeah. Now, that was recorded in 1814. Well, in 1870, there was a Captain Banner and a crew that was aboard the Lady of the Lake ship. They witnessed a cloud, circular in shape, but this cloud seemingly was divided into compartments. And they said there was a hook type of a shaft extending from it. And they said this cloud was traveling against the wind. Nothing more said after that one. 1975, popping forward a little bit, Tom D. Eckerle. Now, he's a science teacher in Oyster Bay, New York. He looked up at the sky. He was getting into his car, looked up at the sky like so many of us would, and hovering over his house was a basketball-sized cloud, and it was floating back and forth across the peak of the roof. And he said, the other thing is it was changing in shape. Then he couldn't believe the next thing he saw. The cloud appeared to breathe in and then spouted out a stream of water, specifically at Tom and his car. The car and Tom were both soaked to the skin. Then the cloud vanished. Now, stories like this are so much of interest. Why? Because you have to ask the question, how can a cloud explode? Now, think of this. This was recorded back in 1814. Now, we all know about UFOs, but I had a unique experience, and this was a few years ago. I was in Los Angeles, California. I was standing at an outdoor restaurant, and I happened to look up into the sky. Now, this particular afternoon, it was a warm afternoon, and I looked up, and I saw the most interesting phenomenon. I saw a cloud ripple with different types of colors. It was like I was watching an energy field, just almost like an aurora borealis, going backwards and forth. Now, there was no dirigible up there. There were no other clouds around. This was a cloud all by itself. UFO? I don't know. But I saw it. And I remember pointing it out to my husband and saying, look at that cloud up there. That cloud is changing colors. But he didn't see it the way I was seeing it. But it was clearly changing colors. Unique thing. I wonder if there's somebody floating up and around out there that says, let me play a game with these people that are watching the sky. What do you think? Could it have been a hologram? Who knows? Fascinating stuff. Fascinating experiences that have been recorded about unique clouds. Leaves you something to think about. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, I'll find out whether the phone lines are operating or not. If they are, the number is 888-815-9756. If not, I may have a recipe to share with you, as well as another story or two. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Yippee! The telephone lines are working now. Here's the telephone number, 888-815-9756. In fact, we do have a caller on the phone line. Hi, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi.
Hi, dear. Where are you calling from?
Canada.
And what's your first name?
Frida.
Okay. Where are you in Canada, Frida?
Moncton, New Brunswick.
New Brunswick. Well, welcome to
yes.
the show. All right,
thank
Frida,
you.
The first thing that I am looking at with you is you've you've got tremendous pressure on you. I am observing a sense, well, it's actually a combination of emotions that I'm picking up. I am picking up the emotions of feeling like you are at an impasse, like you can't go any further. It's as if I'm looking at barriers around you. And then the next thing that I am feeling is a sense that I shouldn't talk to people about what my concerns are because I'd just be imposing on them. And then on the other side, there is a fear that you're not going to be able to resolve something. And I'm just looking at a lot of what I would call self-programming. And when I look at this programming inside of you, and I realize that's a rather cold term to use, I feel as if a lot of what's going on is happening so that you can get rid of some of these fears that you've got, so that you can do and live a life that is going to enable you to have something of a sense of freedom. It almost feels as if you have got a tremendous weight that you're carrying from the past, Frida, and I would just love for you to be able to release this load that sometimes puts a lot of pressure on you. And I think if you can deal with the facts and not let your emotions, and I'll use the term imagination, carry you into the worst case scenario thinking, I think you'll do a lot better. What's on your mind, Frida? What would you like to ask me today?
I think where you're picking up the pressure is because soon enough I will be going to court. There was a malpractice done to me on my back, and I caused nerve damage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if everything is going to be okay and how the outcome's going to be.
Well, your case is going to go on for a while. And if you have a good attorney, your attorney is going to want to deal with facts, and that is what you have to keep in mind. And I can understand, having known individuals that have had to go through malpractice, it can be very, very exhausting. And you do have sufficient evidence. There is evidence there, but when you go into a court of law, you are in the positioning of having to really demonstrate your facts and your information. So your attorney has got a significant job in front of him or her, and I think that it's very important that you understand, perhaps by talking with some people that have gone through the process themselves, you don't look at the worst-case scenario. You look at all of the information, good, bad, or indifferent, and then ask your attorney, how do we best present this, so that it is going to work well. So I think that there is eventually going to be a settlement. I don't think it's going to be exactly what you expect, but I do think that there are going to be some conditions that are going to be asked of you when the settlement is made that you will not expect. So you need to be alert, aware, and you need to pay attention to detail. You need to deal with the facts. And that's how you have to work with this. Because if you get too emotional over it, it is going to just totally, totally wipe you out. But I believe that you will be able to get through this. But it may take as long as a year for everything to be totally completed relative to this case.
Okay, it's been 3 years now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it has to stay in the court system. It's just a long process there. There are no shortcuts with these cases. None.
Do you see a move with this?
I'm not looking at a move right now, no.
No.
Not right away.
Okay.
I think there may be a consideration for a move afterwards. I've got another caller waiting, dear. I'm going to have to go.
Okay, thank you so much.
You take care.
God bless you.
Thank you, sweetheart. You take care. This is Donna Sebo, and let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
This is Annette, and I'm calling from Anchorage, Alaska.
Hi, Annette. Is it getting cold up there?
It's definitely fall time, but not too cold yet.
Good, because I'll be coming up there next month.
Yes, that's what I see. We're excited to have you here. Hope to get to see you when you're here.
Well, I love Alaska. I've been traveling up there for so many years. It's just a special place, but I always ask, is it time for the long johns yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. Annette, let's look at your space, and I want to say the hard work is right in front of you. Apparently, you're taking on a big challenge. You are wanting to make some major change. I would say changes, but actually it's a major change, and I believe it's going to be in a professional level. It has to do with work. You have balanced out a great deal of your life, which I compliment you on, and sometimes you feel like you're on an emotional seesaw, but it's not very dramatic. You keep yourself pretty well balanced. But I am looking at you seriously investigating a professional area of expertise that may require you going into a particular training environment. And I would say this is going to be good. It will keep you away from home, though, for a while. So as long as everybody that you know and love understands that and they will work with you and support you, I think it's one of the best moves that you could make, because you are going to find yourself really wanting to get into what I feel is an entirely different arena. It's like being a computer programmer and deciding to become a chef. It's that different.
Okay.
So I think it's marvelous. I really think that when you make up your mind about this change, and it's going to come real fast, you're going to say, in a million years, I would have never thought that I'd be raising turnips in the middle of Alaska. Now, of course, that's ridiculous. I know you're not going to raise turnips in the middle of Alaska, but you get my drift. And this is what I'm looking at, and I'm seeing you so successful with it. It is going to be considered a risk, but again, you need the support of the people around you because of the commitment of time, effort, and energy that you'll be putting towards acquiring the skill that you desire. And consequently, then you're able to get into that career venue very, very quickly because it's like you were born into it. So you are really going to do well.
Okay.
You are going to do very, very well.
I had a death in the family this spring, and it's been a difficult summer. And, going through probate and estate and the death of the family member things are happy at home. I have a really good marriage at home, and I'm working with someone right now that I find myself attracted to, and he's a much younger man. And, he's got me questioning my life right now. And where do you see this? Is it just something, that someone is paying attention to me, and it's just something that I shouldn't worry about?
Well, I understand, but there's nothing wrong with finding this young man attractive. You'd be abnormal if you didn't. So there's nothing wrong with that. What I think, though, is that you need to realize that this is not something that would work out in the long term at all. Fire and water. It just isn't going to work. So what I'm looking at, though, is that he's a diversion. Because of everything that you're going through, this is a diversion for you.
Right.
Because I really don't see you unhappy in your marriage. Not at all.
No, I'm not at all. It's like my husband
is understand something.
Just a wonderful
it's okay
man.
To find somebody else attractive. There's nothing unhealthy about that. You're normal, for heaven's sake. You're alive. All right? It's cool. There's nothing. It's really interesting. Every time, if a guy were to say, boy, I think that gal's so flaxy, God, she's gorgeous. Now, would we condemn a man for saying that?
Right.
Well, what's wrong with a woman saying about a man, oh, I think he's just absolutely yummy. Isn't he gorgeous? There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing.
Okay.
You're healthy. If you didn't see some guys that were attractive, my goodness, you'd have to be 16 feet underground. and okay. deaf, dumb, and blind. I mean, for you know, there's nothing wrong with you. You're fine.
Okay.
But understand.
So when is this guy you talk about in my career coming?
Well, it seems to be within a year's time. It's not happening day after tomorrow. But I think before the end of summer next year.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking time to talk with me, and I hope to meet you while you're here in Anchorage next month.
Well, I definitely will be looking forward to coming up, and if you get my newsletter, you'll know when I'm coming up and all of that information. And if you'd like to get a postcard from me, then send me an email with your mailing address, because I send out postcards. But my email is donna@delphiinternational.com.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too, Annette. This is Donna Siebel.
Take
my
care.
Goodness. Well, take care, dear. We're out of time now. Remember, tomorrow I am going to be running one of my previous programs, The Best of Donna, because I'm going to be in the air. I'll be in a flight. And then we'll be broadcasting live from Las Vegas, Nevada, the rest of this week. So just know that we've got some fabulous programming for you tomorrow. Good information that I think you will really enjoy and some dynamic guests. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. Have a magnificent day, and I'll be talking with you live on Wednesday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.